Our senior news analyst, Dan Shore, joins us. Morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And in Quebec City today, we have a, I think we can fairly say, a familiar scene unfolding. World leaders have gathered to talk about a proposed free trade agreement. This one would encompass the entire Western Hemisphere, save for Cuba for the moment. And that idea has drawn thousands of protesters who are concerned about environmental and labor issues, how a pact might affect them. As previously we've seen in Washington, D.C., Seattle, and Switzerland, are they putting across a cogent message?
Well, they're disparate groups with disparate agendas, of course, and apparently, as you suggest, they are going to be a standard feature of conferences of this sort under the general rubric of globalization, in this case, I guess, hemispherization, if I can say that. I think they do achieve something when the headlines this morning read, "Protesters Disrupt," instead of 34 countries discuss a free trade zone.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there any indication that, they're bringing that discussion inside, though?
Well, the discussion goes ahead. I mean, it gets disrupted a little bit. President Bush doesn't get to meet all his appointments and all that. But generally speaking, it does go ahead. I think that President Bush is now keenly interested in the pursuit of free trade in the hemisphere, more so, I must say, than he seemed to be during his campaign. And I suspect that it's in part, at least, because of what the census shows. That is to say, this enormous growth of Hispanic population and Hispanic voters in the United States. So foreign trade is also domestic politics.
Let me ask about this, because, of course, a lot of the protesters want environmental and labor issues brought into the inside of those discussions.
Yes.
Tomorrow is Earth Day. The president will be there for that. He's been under some criticism, obviously, for what some people consider backtracking on environmental policies. Do you sense he's backtracking from that backtracking?
Well, I tell you, having suspended President Clinton's regulation on arsenic in the water, which the mining industry didn't like very much, so all of a sudden he now permits his EPA administrator, Christy Whitman, to say, hey, just one more study and then we will set some kind of limit on arsenic in water. I don't think that's entirely an accident. Mm-hmm. He also had made a personal appearance in order to back a treaty phasing out various toxic chemicals. What do you call this, the greening of George Bush or something like that? Well, I'll tell you, there was a poll, CBS had a poll indicating that Americans 2-1 do not like his laxity on pollution. They want clean air and water. And I know that President Bush said he doesn't read polls, but still somehow I have a feeling that popular opinion gets through.
Yeah, the news gets to him. Let me ask about China, because 2 days of negotiations between the United States and China over that down plane appear to be stalemated. Where do the talks go from here?
Well, the Chinese, I imagine, would be very happy to leave the situation where it now is, in that stalemate. They have the American plane. My understanding, although the Pentagon will not confirm the fact, is that there have been no surveillance flights since April 1st. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of thought being given now in the Pentagon, and I imagine the White House, as to how to resume those flights, maybe have them a little further from the Chinese coast, maybe another part of the Chinese coast, not quite so sensitive, maybe having U.S. fighters not quite escorting the planes, but sort of in the general neighborhood. And meanwhile, I think relations remain quite tense. And other things happen, that China now arrests a scholar, a computer expert, after having arrested 3 Chinese Americans on espionage charges. The State Department warns Chinese Americans that it's unsafe to travel in China. And the latest now is that China is raising cane because the United States is giving a visa to the former president of Taiwan, Li Tonghui, to visit his alma mater, Cornell. Mind you, he's an ex-official, where they say that shouldn't be done anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're all together in a rather bad patch in relations with China.
And how is this going to affect the decisions that have to be made soon on arms sales to Taiwan?
Ho, ho, ho. A decision that they really wish they didn't have to make at this point. Well, they have to decide sometime in the next week, if they follow their schedule, whether to sell to Taiwan these destroyers with this very sophisticated Aegis radar. Don't ask me what Aegis radar is, but it's very sophisticated. China's been warning, you better not do that, or there's going to be hell to pay. The Bush administration seems inclined to hold off on these destroyers and give Taiwan a lot of other nice toys. But they're fearful of reaction from conservatives who already think the administration has been something of a wimp in all of this. So what do you do when you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't? you temporize. Mm-hmm. And I imagine what they're going to do is to say, for one reason or another, purely technical, they will have to postpone that decision.
Mm. Is there any relationship between Chinese anxieties over Taiwan and reports we've gotten this week that Chinese officials are literally attacking villagers in the south of that country?
That's interesting. I think we sometimes forget that China is really only on its way up from being a third world country not able to satisfy its people's needs, especially farmers, especially workers. Mm-hmm. And they're getting increasingly restless. And we think of this as a totalitarian society, but not quite all that totalitarian, so that they can't make themselves felt. In this case, these villagers were being told, although they were destitute, that they had to pay taxes, mm-hmm. and people came to collect the taxes. And they had much better reason than the average American does to say, get lost. And there was some shooting, and that is what happened. Well, there's also another side to this. Classically, a country with deep problems at home mm-hmm. looks to some kind of foreign confrontation as a way of appealing to nationalism and hoping by doing that to take people's minds off their own troubles. And so there is that connection. When they're in trouble at home, how about having a nice foreign confrontation?
Another week of violence in the Middle East. At one point, the Israeli military, even for a number of hours, took back control of Palestinian-controlled areas of Gaza. They got a sharp rebuke from Secretary of State Powell. Mm-hmm. Today, reports are that Israeli tanks, destroyed a Palestinian police post.
Right.
Where does the situation stand today?
Well, where it stands is that the latest thing is Prime Minister Sharon says, quote, I am tired of hearing people say that Israel uses excessive force, unquote. Mm-hmm. The people he's referring to, as he suggested, was the Secretary of State, Colin Powell. And so much for you, General Powell, and so much for you, President. We are going our own way. What we're on is a conflict that somehow seems to be escalating and with no end in sight, and the Bush administration managing somehow to get both sides mad at it for one reason or another, and which I guess is what you can kind of call even-handed. That's where we are. Mm.
AIDS activists claimed a major victory this week. 39 of the world's most powerful drug companies dropped a suit against a South African law that could provide and enable them to provide cheaper AIDS drugs to the millions of people afflicted there. What does this represent, that decision, or to drop the suit as far as you're concerned?
Well, obviously it represents what the power of international public opinion can do with the giant pharmaceutical industry. But, you know, this isn't quite over yet in South Africa. And somehow, after having won this great victory, you hear that the African government is not all that interested in vigorously pursuing a program to protect women, say, from transmitting AIDS to their babies. The African National Congress said they should think twice about providing these AIDS cocktails to these people. It seems to be not a high government priority. They say they're already offering a lot of good care without expensive AIDS drugs. So it really is a great irony that this fight has been won, and then you wonder what they've won.
We have to note Thursday anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing reminded us of that terrible loss, and now Timothy McVeigh is going to be executed with closed circuit coverage available to the families of those who were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have thoughts about that?
Well, thoughts, yes. I'll tell you. I don't want it to make it an individual thought. Let me put it in journalistic terms. I think that being seen on television is part of the satisfaction that a terrorist gets from terrorist acts. And if it helps them to get on television and say, hooray, hooray, I think that might be wise for us to deny this sense of identity to those terrorists.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Right.